Our Work. December 25th, 1905. Typed. What is our work? It is to walk humbly with God. Those who have any connection with His institutions are to become more and more enlightened in regard to the sacred things that proceed from the lips of Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, He declares. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. We have a most solemn work to do. We are to make every effort to proclaim the truth for this time. Through the ministration of Christ, a most intense interest is to be aroused in this truth. We are never to lose sight of the fact that it is by the ministration of Christ that this work is to be accomplished. We are to work through His ministers in this, the great day of atonement. The Savior gave His first disciples precious instruction to live by and the assurance of His abiding presence. Lo, I am with you alway, He said, even unto the end of the world. Verse 20. We should be pleased to see special work done in Philadelphia and in Boston. Many souls will be converted if men and women will do the personal work that needs to be done. By means of workers who labor under the influence of the Holy Spirit, many souls will be brought to a knowledge of the truth. The Melrose Sanitarium. In regard to obtaining means, there are few places that have had so great advantages in their favor as the Melrose Sanitarium. True, a part of the main building of the institution was burned, but it was insured, and the material that was brought to Melrose when the sanitarium in South Lancaster was torn down can be used. There are places with which I am well acquainted where the workers are striving early and late, and in the face of great difficulties, to advance true medical missionary work and to establish small sanitariums that the people of all classes may be reached. I cannot feel free to call the attention of our people to Melrose. I am instructed that we are now to make the work in Washington our first consideration. We have no time to lose. The importance of the work at the capital of our nation demands that past negligence be atoned for by abundantly supplying the necessary means to erect the buildings that must be erected and equipped as quickly as possible. Shall we not make a representation corresponding with the importance of the situation? Unbelievers are placing their estimate on us as a people, and God requires us to complete speedily the work that He has outlined to be done in Washington. The Work in Washington. I have been given special light that it is not by erecting grand, expensive buildings that the cause of God is to be advanced and a correct impression made on minds, but by the erection of plain, substantial buildings. The money that the people of God give for the advancement of His work is not to be expended for display. The buildings erected in Washington are to be constructed on plain, substantial lines, and in their erection, the students who help with the work are to learn lessons of the thoroughness that is essential in character building. We call upon our brethren to make a specialty of the work in Washington. The publishing house must be erected, that the work of printing and sending out literature may be carried forward in noble, straightforward lines. We are to reveal that the God of this world has not put out our spiritual eyesight. The work of building must go forward with self-sacrifice. To those connected with this work, I would say, The unselfish love of Christ must be expressed in the work to be done in behalf of truth and righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ has caused you to pass through a severe and trying experience in searching for a place in which to establish the publishing work, which he said should be removed from Battle Creek. The Lord led his servants, and they, not knowing whither they went, were guided by the angels of heaven. Recent developments show that they went to Washington none too soon, and that their selection of a place was in God's order. We need not doubt that the site in Tacoma Park was waiting for them. We have seen evidence of the working of the Spirit of God in answer to prayer. In the order of God, men of His appointment were on hand at this important crisis, which is not yet ended. These men have labored with all their power to press back the influences of the power of darkness, who is trying to bring in a law for the better observance of a day that has never been sanctified by God, but which by man-made laws has been given the place of the day that the Lord sanctified and blessed.
The warfare is not to end where it is now. It is to be carried forward without fear. In the future, God's power and authority are to be more distinctly seen, that those who love and fear and honor Him may say, "I know in whom I have believed." 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. In this country and in foreign countries, the cause of present truth is to make more rapid advancement than it has yet made. If our people will go forth in faith, doing whatever they can to make a beginning, and laboring in Christ's lines, the way will be opened before them. If they will show the energy that is necessary in order to gain success, and the faith that goes forward unquestioningly in obedience to God's command, rich returns will be theirs. They must go as far and as fast as possible with a determination to do the very things that the Lord has said should be done. They must have push and earnest, unwavering faith. I fear that there is a lack of the earnest effort that brings success. The members of the Church of God should be more in earnest. The world must hear the warning message. To my brethren and sisters in all parts of the world, I would say, be sure that truth and righteousness are exemplified in your life and character. Be sure that you are obeying the law of God, which denominates you as His chosen people. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, He rested and was refreshed." Exodus 31, verse 12 to 17. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, and hallowed it. Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. The law of God is to be vindicated. The Lord has appointed men to stand in vindication of this law. Let every soul who believes the truth consecrate himself to God, setting himself apart to work out the will of God, to honor and exalt his law. From the hearts of those who obey, wickedness will be expelled, and truth, sacred, refining, ennobling truth, will be revealed in their lives. Yielding to the divine claims, they will gain an experience that will enable them to honor God. There is a great work before us to be carried on in every church. Believers are to be thoroughly consecrated to God, rendering obedience to every jot and tittle of His holy law. Thus they will become laborers together with Him, filled with all the fullness of God. The self-important, selfish spirit, which leads men to strive for the mastery, is to be cast out of the soul. All unholy ambition is to be put aside. Wise counselors are greatly needed now, and will be greatly needed in the great work before us in every place where the gospel shall be preached in its fullness and sanctified purity. By harmonious, Christ-like lives, God's people are to honor Him. There are many bold professors whose lives are unsanctified. Their words and acts testify against them. The Lord has presented to me many things that will have to be brought home to the individual life. There are many whose inconsistent lives deny the faith. Now, just now, let the individual work. Now, just now, let each one decide to search his own heart, to humble himself, and to work in a way that will win souls to Christ.
This is your work, to abhor that which is evil in yourselves, and walk worthy of the vocation whereunto ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The religion that shines through the medium of a thoroughly converted life will bring souls to Christ. A word of warning. I wish to speak decidedly. It is not the plan of God for His church to arrange at any time to make a grand display in our cities on any occasion. The Lord is displeased and dishonored when His entrusted means is used in such displays. I was permitted to have the recent display presented to me, and I was instructed that the money used thus should have been used to relieve the situation of some who have lent means to our institutions and now need that means. There are those who lent means in good faith, but who, though they have called and pleaded for their money, have not been able to obtain it. Means borrowed from our people is to be returned when called for. I have borrowed money from my brethren and sisters to invest in the cause of God, but in every instance, when this means have been called for, I have returned it. Often I had not the money in hand to do this, but I borrowed from someone else who wished to invest means in the work. Never have I failed to respond to a call for means that I had borrowed. The instruction given me is that we are to show our piety by our strict integrity in dealing with those who, when the cause was in need of means, have trusted us with loans of money. When these persons themselves get into a straight place, their money is always to be returned to them. If we show justice and judgment and mercy in our dealing, this will do more to leave a favorable impression on minds regarding the cause of God than any words that we might speak. Thus, through our good works, light will shine forth. Never are we to abuse the trust that any child of God has reposed in any one of his institutions. I am instructed to say that those who make God their guide must conscientiously discharge every obligation that they owe to others. Never are they to let a brother or a sister call for means loaned by them to the work and pay no heed to the call. God requires the borrower to show the strictest integrity. Truth is to be lived in the strictest verity by those who claim to keep the law of God. April 19th. It does not become the people who are living amidst the perils of these last days to be careless of their obligations to others. Christ declared to his disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and place it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 13-16. What does Christ expect of his disciples but that they shall work in his vineyard? God has a divine claim on all who profess to be his followers. Christ has purchased us with the price of his blood, and he has taken us into sacred relationship with himself, that those who claim to believe in him shall receive of him power to become the sons and daughters of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." And there followed another angel, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Revelation 14, verse 6-12. This part of the experience of the people of God I have acted a part in. As a messenger of God, I have participated in giving to the people the special truths that are still being proclaimed. This great work we are to continue till the close of this earth's history. The message must go to every nation, tongue, and people. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sin. Isaiah 58, verse 1. The work specified in the 58th chapter of Isaiah is to be carried forward with zeal, sanctified earnestness, and determination. There is a special work to be done, in which the people of God are to act a decided part. All who shall seek to bring about an issue that is not in harmony with the truths that John was instructed to proclaim are out of line. The Lord would have all his people come into harmony in this sacred, solemn work, which is so important, and in which such tremendous issues are involved. The time has come to fear God and give glory to him. He who binds himself up with any man to glorify that man will be misled, whatever may be his knowledge, his position, or his claims. Every man is to stand in his God-given responsibility, acting as he is moved by the Holy Spirit. He is not to be intimidated by human threatening. He is not to fear any human being who shall dare to oppress his fellow men. We are living in the time when the everlasting gospel is to be proclaimed, and this work is to claim our undivided attention. Everywhere we are to proclaim the message of truth to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Revelation 14, verse 7. As the Lord's messenger, I am to warn every one who has a part in the work not to give to erring man the honor that belongs only to God. I am charged to say that this has been done and that the Lord is greatly displeased. Men's minds have been leavened with human sophistry. The truth has been mingled with chaff. The theories by which some have been charmed originate with the one who in the Garden of Eden deceived Adam and Eve. When those who have accepted these theories see matters in the light in which God sees them, they will realize that they have a serious work to do in uprooting the fibers of these specious theories. Those who have felt that they have been doing a work of mercy and covering up the mistakes of the one who has been advancing these theories have sown seeds that are now yielding baleful fruit. And the end is not yet. We are entering upon the time to which apply Christ's words, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." Matthew 10, verse 16, 17. Signs and miracles will be worked by those who have apostatized, but they are deceived by Satan. He is working through them to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Those who will stand in the day of Christ's coming will be those who sustain every phase of the truth that has made us what we are, a people distinct from the world. April 22nd. I am instructed to say that the leading men in our institutions should make a much more favorable record than some have made in the past, or God will certainly bring them into judgment. It is wholly unacceptable to God for us to make a display in any line of our work. It is dishonoring to him for his people to do for display that which piles debts upon his institutions. God requires truth in the inward parts. The church is pledged to honor God. When the members took part in the solemn rite of baptism, they took a solemn vow to be separate from the world and to live unto Christ, to be loyal and obedient to him. They were buried with Christ in baptism, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. These three powers of heaven will be their strength and efficiency at all times if they are faithful to their baptismal vow. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, verse 1-4. This is our privilege, to secure the blessings that come to all who receive Christ by faith. They live the new life, and through the power he bestows on them, they become sons and daughters of God. They live in holy union with Christ, justified and sanctified. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3, verse 21. We are God's denominated people, and by solemn covenant we have taken upon ourselves certain obligations. The charge comes that we are in no wise to be inattentive. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 22. We have placed ourselves under obligation to keep every precept of the law of God. Shall we not be loyal to the law of Jehovah? Only thus can we be subjects of his kingdom.